man of Zorah of the family of the Danites. That's Judges chapter 13, starting from verse 2. Whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. If you could bow your heads one more time with me, Lord, we just ask, oh God, that you be in this word, Lord, that your word go forth, that it will encourage, that it will bless, that it will touch, hallelujah, that it will revive, hallelujah. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, which none can shut. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There was a woman of the Jews. She was a very faithful lady. She believed in God. She believed that God could be in her situation. But she had a problem. In those days, it was a thing of honor to be able to bear your husband a child, a son. But her womb was shut. And she, I guess, was getting up in age and was not able to have children. She had probably been to the doctors of their day, and they had said, well, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what the problem is. And she just couldn't bear. But she didn't give up. The Bible speaks about the fact that finally, when she was praying, an angel of the Lord appeared to her and told her she was going to have a son. And so the womb that was barren, the gates, in other words, that was barren, God opened. And when God opens a door, none can shut it. Sister Hannah, it didn't matter what you had done on the Monday. If God decides to bless you, that's all that can come out of the devil's mouth is blessing. Amen. Baal, come and curse Israel. Let's shut them up in the wilderness. And he said, well, I'll try. And he goes a few times on the mountains, but finally all he can do is blessing. When God has opened a door, none can shut it. I want you to know, when God has opened a door for you, nothing can stop it. No one can get in between. They come to curse you, they'll have to bless you. They'll come to put you down, they'll have to exalt you. They won't even know what happened to them. She came to that realization that she was going to have a child. And she made a pledge to God. God, if you give me this child, I'm going to give it back to you. See, Satan has a plan to lock you up, to keep you barren, to keep you unfruitful, to make nothing in your life come to pass. He will do all kinds of things to throw away the key and lock the door and try and come to you with discouragement and with doubt and with fear. But I'm telling you, if you will be like this lady in the Bible, if you will be faithful, if you will just keep coming to the temple. She kept on coming to the temple. Didn't matter that even the priest misjudged her. The priest thought something was wrong with her. And she says, no, I'm just here praying that God will open my womb. One day, the angel of the Lord came and said to her, you're going to bear. You're going to have a son. See, Satan wants to lock you up sometimes with sickness. That sickness can be depression. That sickness can be doubt. That sickness can be fear. But I'm telling you today that God has a key to open your door. God has a way of opening the lock. He wants to bind you up with depression. He wants to say you can't make it. You're looking for an opening and you can't see it. But what I'm trying to tell you today, that when God opens a door, none can shut it. Amen. Nobody can be in your way because He has the key. So you know the story of this lady's son. He turned out to be Samson. She called him Samson. He was born and he was a special child. He had been given to the Lord from a baby. She named him Samson. And there were some special things that the angel had told her about this son, that he has to be dedicated. He has to be given wholly to the Lord. And if you will keep these things done, he will be used mightily of God. You want to be used of God. You want God to come into your life. You want an open door. You want him to say, like the church of Philadelphia, that I've placed before you an open door. And guess what? None can shut it. You see, you have to be faithful. You have to be completely given over to God. You can't give him half yourself. 75% won't do. God wants all of you. And when you totally stretch out in faith, when you walk out in faith, I'm telling you, he's going to tell you, I've placed before you an open door and none can shut it. Amen. Come on now. I just said something from the Lord. None can shut. Do you believe that God can open a door for you? That he can come into your life and do a miracle? That he can break down the walls that Satan has bound you with? I've proved him. Amen. That he can open a door that when they would want to curse you, when they want, they're intending to fire you, God just does something like this and all that can come out is blessing. Amen. All that can come out is goodness. All that can come out is God's favor. Because when he has put before you an open door, none can shut it. See, Samson was a very strange character from his birth. You know, he had to obey these vows of a Nazarite. He was never to supposed to cut his hair. He could never have anything to do with the fruit of grapes or the wine. He had to keep these himself dedicated and separated. As long as he did this, there was a special time when God would move upon him. And when the Spirit of God moved upon Samson, nothing could be done about it. They sent 1,000 men against him, and he just took a jawbone of a donkey and slew 1,000 men. They were so surprised. This was something that was incredible. But as I'm telling you, when you have God walking in you, with you, beside you, none can stop it. Nothing can be in opposition to it. Judges chapter 14 and verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. You see, the Bible says that your adversary, the devil, is going around like what? A roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know what that means? He can't devour everybody. He's only seeking those who he may devour. But you see what happened to Samson? The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. That's what I want. I want the Spirit of the Lord to come mightily upon me. I don't know about you, but if the Spirit of the Lord will come mightily upon you, look what Samson was able to do. And he took this lion up and he tore him as he would have rent a kid. He just tore the lion in two. That's what God's power can do. When Satan comes against you, the Bible said, submit to God and you will be able to do what? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. But you know, sometimes we get this idea when we have a victory that was something to do with us. Oh, I did this. Oh, I'm so powerfully used of God. You see, let's look at the verse carefully. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. It was the Spirit of the Lord that was able to do the miracle of fighting a lion. We cannot fight Satan in our own flesh. We can make all kinds of noises, but we cannot actually fight Satan. But if you can stay at the place, if you can get into the presence of God, if you can submit totally and say, Lord, I am nothing, but you are everything. The Bible says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. It was not Samson that did it, but it was the Spirit of the Lord. The scripture says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And as long as we're willing to give God glory, he will continue to work. Amen. You know, that's why we should never refrain from testifying. You know, I used to have a problem with giving testimonies because I felt I was attracting attention to me. But after a while, I overcame that because I know that God has done miracles. Mighty works, and he has done all of these things, and I want to give him the glory. It was never me. It was never about me. It was for his mercy and his grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Samson realized that it was because he was obedient that he was able to manifest the Spirit. You know, this week, you ever locked yourself out? Anybody locked themselves out? That's such a frustrating experience. That's such a frustrating experience. And you can't get in without the key. You know that? I've learned a little skill. I've been able to take a coat hanger a few times and opened up a car. I got pretty good at it. Don't read that the wrong way. Don't read that the wrong way. I was always forgetting my key. But you see, when you are locked out, you need a key. Shall I tell you what the key to getting an open door is? It's obedience. It's sacrifice. It's sanctification. You want God to throw open a door for you, you need to be obedient to his word. If Samson was not obedient, then the spirit that would give him that power and that ability would leave him. But for most of his life, he was obedient. He kept to the vow that he had from a child. Do you understand that you are not your own? If you have come here and you have made a confession when you went down in Jesus' name and you said, I confess, I'm going to walk in a different way. I'm going to try and live my life to be pleasing to God. That means you are not your own. You belong to the King of Kings. You can't do what you want. You need to be understanding that if you want God to open a door, then you have to keep the obedient vow that you made. See, there were things that Samson couldn't do. There are things that we can't do. We can't do everything we want and still get God's favor and blessing. We have to be obedient. Samson means like the sun. His name was there as a model for Jesus Christ. He modeled an aspect of God's strength. See, as I said, in his own self, probably Samson didn't look much different from anybody else. You know, when they have these movies of Samson, they always portray him like the Hulk. But I don't believe he looked very special. In fact, the fact that it was a miracle tells us that it was not because of his physical stature. Had nothing to do with it. It was the presence and power of Almighty God working through him. And it was because of his obedience was the key to unlocking the door. We have to be obedient to God's word if we want God to say, I place before you an open door which none can shut. It doesn't work that way that I used with the coat hanger. That won't work with God's open door. You can't break in. You can't jimmy God's blessing. Oh, no, that won't work. You can call the sheriff and he can come and bring that little jimmy thing and they stick it in your window and they open the door. That will not work with God's blessing. There is no jimmying his blessing. There's only one key to God's favor, and that is obedience. That is sanctification. That is truly saying, Lord, I come to you with a contrite and broken heart. Bible says he will not despise that. God will answer your prayer. I was just so blessed by Sister Hannah's testimony of all the things God has done for her. It was just like one thing after another. She expected to be in trouble, and instead her boss was giving her a surprising blessing that they don't normally do in the middle of the year. I'm telling you, when God places before you an open door, none can shut it. None can shut it. And why I'm smiling is because I'm thinking about my own job. I am certainly not worthy to be doing the job I'm doing, but you know what? I didn't get it for me anyway. I have nothing to do with it. I just show up and I give God whatever I can, and he blesses the work of my hand. He gives me favor above what I should be getting favor. None can shut. I've had people say all kinds of negative things about me, and you know what I do? I remember the scripture that says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." You know, they're not talking about you. They're talking about your God. If you are obedient to God and you have the key, then when they talk about you, it's not you they're going to have to be dealing with. It's my daddy. It's my heavenly father. You can't talk smack about me because I have a father who is bigger than all. Amen. Amen. There is something about being inside the building when there is an open door. Hallelujah. In Exodus 12:7, it speaks about a door that the people had to put the blood over. That door provided an entrance for salvation. It was an open door because whoever was inside the house got saved. It says in Exodus 12:7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. You see, God placed an open door for salvation. That was the way they got out of Egypt, because they had to go in through that door. There was an open door for salvation today. For those of you who don't understand, God is opening a door of salvation, but it is through his blood. That's the key to going through that door. He has placed before us an open door which none can shut. Now, sometimes there's a door where God wants to shut it. Sometimes the door we're trying to go out is the door we shouldn't open. See, I could have titled this message, The Door That Shouldn't Be Opened. Because sometimes God wants to keep us in a safe place, and we're fighting to go through the wrong door. There's a door sometimes which we shouldn't open. See, a lot of times we in our own flesh, we want to go our own way. We want to do the thing that's outside of the will of God. And this happened eventually to Samson. Although he had been blessed and from a child he had kept the key that was the blessing to the open door of his power. One day he gave it away. He was disobedient. He gave away the secret of his blessing. Sometimes we know we should just keep our mouth shut. Let God fight our battles. Don't tell the secret of your strength. Don't give away your blessing. Don't give away the key. Don't let Satan deceive you. Don't let Satan depress you. Don't let him take away your faith. Hallelujah. Because if you will believe, if you will just hold on, if you will endure to end, he says, I'll place before you an open door. You know why? He told the Philadelphia church, because thou hast a little strength. It doesn't take much, just a little strength. Just hang on a little bit longer. Daniel, just hang on a couple more days. You've prayed and fasted for 20 days. Just hang on one more day. The angel is coming. The message is coming. God will place before you an open door which none can shut. Genesis 4:7, speaking to Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not, sin lieth at the door. There's some doors where you're not to go through. There's some doors where sin lies at that door. And God in his mercy will try and close that door, and we'll be trying to fight to open the wrong door. There are some doors that God doesn't want to open for us. And sometimes we're so hard-headed, you know. We're fighting that door. Finally, sometimes I wake up and I say, okay, God, I wasn't supposed to do this. I can see now. But God is so merciful. God is so gracious. God is so loving. So many times he has dragged us back from falling out of the wrong door. So many times he has rescued us and pulled us back into the place of safety. Because there is a door that should be open, and there is a door that we're not supposed to go down. Amen? See, Satan wants us to be locked up in a door, a prison of doubt and of fear and of depression and of not trusting God's word. And it's very easy to speak it now when things are going good. But the true test is when you cannot see your way out. That's when it takes faith. Because faith is not what you can see by your natural eyes. Faith is what you can believe when there is no visible evidence of it. See, Satan wants to make you a prisoner. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 17 tells us that. It says that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the house of his prisoners. See, he wants to shut the door of blessing. He wants to shut the door of healing. He wants to shut the door of salvation for your family. He wants to throw away the key. He wants to keep you bound and make you a prisoner of doubt and fear so that you don't even want to come to church. In the morning, you don't want even to face the world. You don't even want to get up and pray. But that is when you got to say, Satan, you're a liar. Satan, you're a liar. I'm going to be like the Philadelphian church. I'm going to have just a little strength. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to look unto the author and the finisher of my faith. And I'm going to say, Satan, get thee behind me. For it is written, hallelujah, he shall give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. You see, he was quoting it for his benefit, but I'm going to quote it back for my benefit. Amen? He wants to lock you up and throw away the key. But then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. See, Samson was a model of Christ. Samson was a model of Christ. He wants to throw away the key and lock you up, but Samson showed when you're obedient what could be done. I'm going to jump down to Judges chapter 16 and verse 3. Judges 16 and verse 3. So Samson went down to the Philistine city of Gath. And he went in there, and the Philistines thought, you know what? We got him now. Because this city of Gath had huge walls. And more than that, it had a gate that was weighed in tons. It was thousands of pounds of metal and brass and wood. And that the Bible says in Judges 16:3. That Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gates of that city. What did I preach a little while ago? I said the gates of hell shall not prevail. It's not a defensive scripture. It's an attacking scripture. He left the city of Gath with no defense. Jesus took the gates off of hell and left it with no defense. Samson lay at midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city. And he didn't leave it at that. He didn't just take the gates. He took the post, the bar, the lintel, put them on his shoulders, and carried them up atop of a hill. He was trying to make a point. You're not getting these gates back, Gath. You think you had me, Satan, but I have left Gath. I have left Egypt. I have crossed the Red Sea. You can't get me and drag me back into that mess because God has put an open door before me. If you could stand with me this afternoon. I tell you, when God says yay, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. When God says yes, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. If God says, in blessing I shall surely bless thee, it doesn't matter what the Philistines do. It doesn't matter what the Assyrians do. When he gives you a promise, when he says, yes, you're going to keep that house. Doesn't matter you get a letter saying, we're sorry, we're foreclosing. All you do is call him up and say, I have a different answer for you. I have a different message for you. When God says, I place before you an open door and none can shut it, you better believe it. I'm trying to tell you, saints, all you need is a little strength. Whatever your situation right now, Satan may be trying to lock you up with doubt, with fear, with terrifying you, with all the things that can go wrong. I'm telling you, God has said, I've placed before you an open door which none can shut. Because you've had a little strength, and you have not denied my name. If you have not denied his name, if you have taken his name, if you have his name, and you have not denied his name, he has promised, I will place before you an open door, which none can shut. You tell yourself that this week when you're meditating. God has given me an open door which none can shut. Devil, even if I lose my job, it doesn't matter. You got a better one for me. He's got a way of providing for me. He's going to send something in front of me and behind me. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I can imagine as the children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea, you know what they saw behind them? A pillar of fire. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. God has said he would place before you an open door, which none can. All you have to have is the key, and that key is obedience. That key is faithfulness. That key is separation. That key is sanctification. That key is being humble. That key is worship. That key is prayer. All those will open the door which none can shut. And the door which you would have walked to, that's the door you need to not cross. The one with the blood on it, you stay under that one. But whatever Satan has put in your way to keep you down, to lock you up, to take away your joy, I'm telling you today, God has placed before you an open door which none can shut. I want you to say it with me. None can shut. That's what you need to tell the devil this week when you get up. You look in him and you say, God has given me an open door which none can shut. None can shut. I am walking in God's favor and his blessing. I have his key, which is obedience to his word. I am going to be faithful to his word. And if I do that, that's a little strength. Philadelphian church, just a little strength. None will be able to shut. Meditate on this word this week, because certainly Satan will come with his noose and with his lasso, and he wants to take you captive. He wants to lock you up, take away your joy, make you depressed, make you feel helpless and hopeless. He wants to lock up your womb of blessing. But you do like this woman in the Bible. She came to the temple. That's where she came, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And then finally, the angel of the Lord showed up. Listen, I'm going to open your womb. And although all the doctors said this was impossible, you're going to have a child. And he's going to be special. Anytime God does open the womb, opens your door, you know the blessing is not just going to be ordinary. It's going to be supernatural. It's going to be special. It's not going to be little. It's going to be so you can't even contain it. Cast your net on the other side. Well, the net wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. They should have gotten help. Because when God says cast your net on the other side, you better be prepared for blessing that you cannot contain. For blessing and favor that you cannot contain. When God does something, He just doesn't just do it. He can only do it one way, and that's perfect. But the key is obedience. As long as Samson was obedient to his vow, he could call upon the presence of the Lord anytime. Bible said he got up, shook himself. The Philistines be upon you. The first two times he just broke those things like they were threads and ran them out of there. But there came a day when he gave in to the temptation and let out his secret. Let out his secret. And you know the story, they took him captive. But you see, Samson's story is not a hopeless story. Because even though he broke his vow, when he was in prison, because of his disobedience, some of us might find ourselves in prison. But even in prison, he turned with all his heart to God and said, Lord, one more time, Lord. God started to make his hair grow. And just like Jesus, in his death, he delivered Israel. Jesus, in his death, delivered not just Israel, but the whole world. Because of that, Israel had an open door from their oppressors. Because of Jesus' death, we can have an open door from Satan's oppression. Just need that key of obedience. I open these altars. I'm closing this service.